This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 40, Solo Games. Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's Michael Rowe here on GamesAtWork.biz, and this will be an interesting show because it's a solo show. Unfortunately, my co-host, Phaedra, is currently stuck on an airplane, and Michael is taking some time off to, I guess, relax and take some time to kind of rejuvenate after just a crazy, crazy work schedule. So this week, I got a couple of things I want to talk about. It probably won't take too long, but we'll give it a shot and see how it goes. And up front, I just want to say we really want to hear your feedback. And to that end, we've made sure that we're available on pretty much every network out there, whether it's at our website at gamesatwork.biz, where you can leave us comments or you can fire us emails from that site. On Twitter, where each of us can be followed individually, as well as the podcast has its own feed at gamesatwork_biz, or myself at MichaelRowe01, or Phaedra at Innovate, INNOV, the number 8, game, or Michael Martin at Carolina Big Blue. We are on Google Plus. We have a Google Plus page as well as a community that we're trying to build up over there to have conversations with you, as well as on Facebook. We have a Facebook page at Games at Work Biz, and all the rest of the feeds that you can get via iTunes, via Blueberry Network, via Stitcher, or via Network Blogs, which is a Facebook application. So lots of ways to get in touch with us. But I wanted to talk briefly about a game that I've been hearing about for a long time and just recently started playing with, which is actually a website that proposes to allow you to play games and improve your brain functionality. I'm sure those of you who may already be picking up the name of the site, it's called Luminosity. And while there is a free to play but pay to get all the cool stuff model, I have yet to start paying for it. But what Luminosity does is it's a set of little mini games that are designed to improve various aspects of your brain health. And really, they break it down into 5 categories. Those types of activities that will improve memory activities, so recall, speed, so the ability to very quickly make a decision or come to an answer, problem solving, so a little bit more, a little deeper design of understanding complex situations and figuring out how to resolve them. Flexibility, this is the ability to very quickly change either how you think or what you're thinking on, deal with distractions, deal with different aspects of things going on. And attention, which to me is kind of the opposite of that, which is the ability to go very deep and think about things or concentrate on one activity. Now, personally, I have lots of flexibility, and as anybody who's been around on the internet for too long, wait a minute, squirrel. a little bit of an attention issue. And one of the things that I know we've talked about on the show in the past is I am horrible with names. So getting to the point where I can leverage improved brain functionality around remembering people's names or remembering where I first met them. That's the memory aspect. So I thought I would give this a try. Been doing it for about a week. And the games themselves are not very hard, but they all have an aspect of time or pressure, which I guess from a business perspective is how we all live our day life, whether we're talking about, you know, project pressures or customer pressures, or quarter end, month end, year end activities that are all driving pressures to get things done. We need to be able to focus on the right things, the right activity at the right time, and to increase our ability to quickly solve problems. And if you're like me, where your job is not just one specific thing, but pretty broad domain areas, the ability to have context switching or flexibility to jump into the middle of a situation, quickly understand and grasp what's going on, make a decision that you feel comfortable with that is based on facts and memories of prior experiences, in order to move on to the next thing. So I looked at this, and I've been hearing about it for about a year now, and I thought I would give it a shot. So overall, it's kind of interesting. They quote a lot of different statistics on their site, like the ability of, you know, with only 10 hours of training, you can see significant improvements in various measures, as we talked about before. They claim up to 97%. I don't know what that means. 97% people improve, and how much do they improve? But it seemed like something that would be kind of interesting, and I plan on digging into this a little while longer and maybe reporting back to the audience here on the podcast on, you know, is it really improving? Do I feel like I'm able to more accurately recall things, or the ability to faster do, you know, simple mathematics? I know one thing that I've seen a lot is in meetings, the people who will scan a chart or a note or something and immediately pick out the one simple mathematical problem that somebody didn't focus on and say, oh, well, 37% of customers say such and such. So maybe there's some value in that. The other thing that I've been looking at lately, there was the announcement this week of Facebook Home. And I actually blogged about this on my other blog, which is thetriangleappshow.com. And what's really happening with the disaggregation of the app developer ecosystem and how Facebook is trying to kind of slide in between the platform, whether that's iOS or Android or BlackBerry or Windows, and the experience that most customers have. Now, interesting thing, and I won't go too deep on this because that's definitely a topic for another podcast. Matter of fact, for my other blog, though, is that when you think of all the data that's used in analyzing information and analyzing customers and analyzing people's use and habits, this really gives Facebook a very interesting position to start doing that. So think about that. Talk about that. Not going to go much deeper. Like I said, I'll put a link to my blog on that. And the third thing that I wanted to just very briefly hit on is really how the gaming ecosystem or the app ecosystem has changed the way we all as individuals and as businesses and as customers value software. What do I mean by that? There's an interesting article this week, and I'll try to find the link, on the buying behavior of the app economy, in the fact that we all get really concerned about, you know, oh my God, this app on my phone is $4.99 or $6.99, and really what drove that was the behavior of the app economy, which said, because I'm going to be locked into an app store, whether that's Apple's or Google Play or Samsung's or, you know, Microsoft's or whomever, and at least in the iOS ecosystem, you cannot provide trials, right? You know, a try and buy situation, and I'll get to that in a second, customers and individuals have changed their buying habits. And so we actually want free software. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to pay for it over time. And you know, developers, we're, you know, smart people, and we figure out that if you take and provide a free version and a paid version, that's your try and buy, have new features in it. Or what's more successful, though, is actually in-app purchases that enable features for, like, pro editions. And I'm not going to go into the gaming aspect. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks back where, you know, the shiny object Simpsons model, where in order to do anything cool in the game, you end up paying more and more money. But the idea that as consumers of games and consumers of apps on mobile devices, we've gotten to the point where we actually expect it for free, and we really will not focus on high-priced applications. Now, from a to tie it back to the content of the podcast, from a games for business perspective, I think there's a challenge here because there are certain games whose goal is not necessarily just revenue for the developer of the game, but really to change behaviors or to change some value for the individual or the business. And the investment to develop strong, capable games to do that, if you're not actually building it for your company itself, can be pretty high. And so how do you recoup that investment? If you're doing a behavior change game, the assumption is that the change in behavior will then drive the revenues that offset the development of the game. However, if you're trying to change more like a societal behavior, then how do you actually recoup your development costs to make that game possible, both in the near term and long term from a business perspective, so you keep doing those type things? So I think, to go back to Luminosity as an example, even though it's a website, you end up in a situation where you have to start free and charge as the value becomes more and more apparent to the users of your game. So that's kind of my couple of three thoughts for today, and I'd like to hear your feedback on a quick short show that I just did. And you know, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, on Google+, on Twitter, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.